Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do it. Out to the River Islands guest line. Time for Cleared to Play. Take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I don't own a tux, so I'm with you, Mark.
I don't own a tux. Yeah, you just went up on my chart, and you were pretty high to begin with. Yep. Hey, Doc, Dre Greenlaw, talk to us. What did you see with his play, and then how concerning is the fact that his knees started to, quote, feel funny?
So number one, in terms of his play, I mean, he looked phenomenal. I mean, typically you would expect that there would be at least 2 to 3 games where you see a drop down in performance. And you didn't see that. You saw him out there. He was leading the team. I mean, he was the highlight of that game in the first half. And the soreness afterwards, you're going to expect that. I think that anytime a player has been away from football, they're coming off of surgery, there's going to be some soreness, whether it be in the Achilles or in the knee. And I was glad that they were precautionary. If this was the regular game, he hadn't had his Achilles, you know, issue, and this was last season, he probably would have kept playing. But I think caution is better, especially the way this season is going. But I mean, he looked great, and I think this is the reason why, even though you're quote-unquote structurally healed at 6 months, you wait till month 9, month 10 to get back. So your performance can be good, and you've gotten all the time to get all that strength and confidence back in your leg.
My instincts are to ask about Devondre Campbell and his hurt feelings, but I'm not sure if you cover that with your medical degree, so I'll stick with Greenlaw. Is it pretty standard to have these companion injuries where, you know, it was kind of the knee and a little bit of the calf tightness? Is that something where overcompensation can lead to those little ailments?
Yeah, I think it's a combination both of the overcompensation and his body hasn't really gone full speed, you know, since the time he played last year at the end of the season. So I think it's a combination of the compensation. It's a combination of this is how players typically feel if they have a preseason, if they're kind of, you know, game one, game two, game three, the preseason. He just jumped right into, you know, kind of big time football. So not surprising at all, but very consistent with where he came back in the season and what his injury was.
Let's keep it with the Warriors now for a second, Doc. And this one's a little off the beaten track, but I wonder how you feel. When DeAnthony Melton went down, and obviously his contract's now been traded to Brooklyn, but he's a free agent at the end of the year, and the Warriors quickly expressed how much they loved this guy and made a big deal about potentially being able to bring him back. But he was acquired injured. Now this is a new injury. Should the Warriors want to bring him back? What is his future with all those injuries?
Well, I think the first thing is that you look at those two injuries. You look at the knee and the back. Unrelated, you know, obviously this was kind of more the knee is bad luck. The back was something that, you know, kind of flared up a little bit early on in the season, but didn't seem to be anything serious based on what was reported. I think when you look at players coming off ACL injuries, the big factor, number one, is how old they are. He's a young player, so that's working in his favor. Number two is most NBA players now coming off ACLs actually have very good careers coming off of them. It's just like Achilles. You used to be this career ender, now they're going to play well. So I think that's number two. And number three, a more subtle thing, is that, you know, initially when he had this injury, people weren't sure, is it a full tear? Is it a partial tear? Is it kind of a sprain? There were all these debates in terms of like how bad the injury was. Typically, when there's some disagreement about the degree of injury to that ACL, that usually means that there's some ACL in general that's probably left there. your risk of having secondary meniscus and cartilage damage, all that stuff you get worried about, is a little bit less because you potentially have some ligaments still hanging around if that was the case with him. So once again, that's another factor that goes in saying, hey, yes, he needed surgery. This may not have been as severe as we all think, and he's going to come back playing at the same level or close to it next season.
One player we all can't wait to watch again is Moses Moody, who's been out with the left knee soreness. With each passing game and practice that he misses, does the concern grow or does it diminish knowing that he's taking care of it the right way?
I think this is truly is just kind of like tendonitis, overuse. There's nothing structural going on. And I think the more time they give him to get better, the less likely this is going to flare back up. I think where a lot of these tendonitis type issues, if this is what it is, kind of creep up, is that you take two games off, and you play, then you're kind of on the bench again. So it's better to take time off. I haven't heard any reports about there being an MRI or some structural issue, and he seems to have this career record of having healthy knees. So I think more than anything else, they've got other players who can kind of jump into a spot right now. It's early in the season. Let's get this kind of all taken care of for him and then kind of work him back into the rotation as well.
Doc Pandy with us, Willard and Dibs. Now, Doc, I want to be very clear here. I never, ever, never, ever, ever, this is in ink, never, ever root for injury. Ever. But I have a lot of friends who would not mind if Patrick Mahomes were out for the year. I'm just saying.
Oh, fantasy.
So, reported high ankle sprain today. What are your thoughts on the Mahomes situation?
Yeah, so I think they reported that it was quote unquote a mild high ankle sprain. So it doesn't seem like it'd be one of those injuries that's going to keep him out for the season. And this is one of the things that happens when professional athletes get MRIs all the time. Eventually you get MRIs, you're going to see some inflammation or some degree of injury somewhere when an athlete may not necessarily have symptoms there, or it's pretty minor. They would just typically, if you're a high school athlete or college athlete, you just brush it off. So the fact I think they reported that it was mild, he's day to day, see how it feels. Not super concerning. I think in general, the fact that he wasn't like carried off on a stretcher, you know, limping a little bit, is probably a positive sign. So I think with these kind of mild, quote unquote, high ankle sprains, which pretty much means there's some inflammation there, it's really day to day and how you feel. And I think Mahomes has even had one of these in the past as well, too. So he's shown a tendency to be able to play through pretty severe stuff. But it sounds like it's mild and sounds like he'll be able to play. So I think hopefully your friends are not upset that he's going to be back on the field, if not in 1 to 2 weeks, based on what they're reporting.
Okay. And remember, by the way, like, he played yesterday and they've got two more football games in the next 9 days.
Yeah. So that may be one of those things where they're like, you know what, this might be a little bit too much stress. Let's take a week off, or, you know, take those two games off, not because they need him to if it was the playoffs, but just because, you know what, we've got more games coming up. Let's take it off just to be safe.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, great stuff. Thank you as always.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, Doc Pandy of the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. The Chiefs host Houston Saturday. Houston is favored.
Wow.
Houston is favored.
For Saturday.
So odds makers are telling you that they think he's going to miss this game.
Yeah, I get that. And if you look at the situation right now, Kansas City is got a little bit of a cushion. You got a two-game cushion to be the one seed.
Game and a half, actually, right?
Because of the Buffalo loss.
Buffalo's got the tiebreaker.
Fair enough. And Buffalo is, a dangerous team.
And they're playing cupcakes the rest of the way. Two Patriots and a Jets.
But you do have a little bit of wiggle room
you
if you're the Chiefs.
You know,
I don't think that being the one seed is the end-all, be-all, so you're not going to push Patrick just to try to chase wins. You maybe rest him for a week and see if you can still beat Houston, which Houston's been a little bit of an enigma, up and down, playing better now, but we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, yet a lot of these playoff spots are already pretty well secure. There's not a lot of openings still out there.
The AFC, like, it feels like you can already tell everybody who the seven playoff teams are. There's jockeying for position, but I'd argue you already know who the playoff teams are. It's Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers.
Most likely, yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. The next on the list is 6-8.
Yeah, some work to do.
So someone's going to have to, like, turn over a two-game deficit in 3 weeks, which seems unlikely.
It does.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah. And for the Niners, not yet totally lost, and I share this with the group.
Stop it.
There is a path.
Yes.
There is a path. And
yes, it's maybe an absurd path.
Maybe
it's
I need to spend more time with my family.
It's longer than the yellow brick road.
It's really not that long.
But I mean,
what it involves is you do need the Rams to have a tie.
You need Santa Claus to be real.
You just need
a tie.
Which
he is.
Yeah. I can't believe you just did that.
No, he is.
Rams lose to the Jets. Like,
you better be careful.
I'm just saying, we don't have confirmation. I've never met the guy.
Rams lose to the Jets and tie Seattle, and they lose to Arizona.
Stop right there.
Seattle loses to Minnesota and Chicago, and they tie the Rams. Sure. Arizona loses to Carolina. They got to beat the Rams. They lose to the Niners. The Niners win out. They win the West. What's so hard about that?
Like, you lost me at someone needs to tie somebody. Like, what are we doing?
They just need the Rams and Seattle tie. We got action.
Forget about it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Get out of here with that. Are you kidding me?
No, you're saying there's a chance.
Well, there is a chance. It's not a good one.
They're out.
And don't get me started on the wild card scenario.
By the way.
But you want Atlanta to lose tonight.
I'm so confused by your question.
So, like, you laid all this stuff out and you left out that the Niners need to win the next three games in a row. Which is, like, already, that in and of itself sounds absurd in this moment.
I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to mean it for the first time all year. The Miami game is a must win. It's actually a double must win.
Lions might be gettable now, too.
Yeah.
Dude, do they have enough players to field the team?
And they did lose three defensive starters.
For the year?
And David Montgomery.
Yeah, David Montgomery is out for the year.
Aleem McNeil,
yes.
Torn ACL.
And their nose tackle.
Carlton Davis, the third, fractured jaw.
Right.
And then their nose tackle. The other corner, Khalil Dorsey, season-ending ankle injury.
Dog.
Three defenders and David Montgomery.
And the defense was already ravaged by injury.
Correct.
And then Buffalo went up and down the field on him like nothing.
I'll text my buddy who's on the staff and ask him, what's the plan?
Buddy,
what's the plan, Detroit?
Can I say one last thing about Detroit, too? I know we got to go. Dude, Dan Campbell, I love the man. He's going to be a liability in the playoffs. You can't, like, you're down by 10 with 12 minutes to go and you tell them we're doing an onside kick. What are you doing? It's not whimsical and fun anymore.
Oh, it's both.
Yeah,
it's
we're gonna go for it and go for it and
they're
go for it.
12-2,
dude.
Now's not the time to criticize Campbell.
No, it is. He lost the NFC title game for him last year.
They had a drop. The play was beautiful. Oh, he was open. Reynolds was open, and he has to catch the ball.
Kick the field goals. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track on January 1st. Tolls on the Antioch Bridge will go up $1. Don't wait for the invoice. Pay tolls automatically with Fast Track. It's the most convenient way to pay tolls. Get started at BayAreaFastTrack.org. Okay, 888-957-9570. And, tucked into the weekend, did you hear what Tom Pelissero said about Brock Purdy and his contract? This is a game changer. We'll tell you about it next on Willard and Dibs.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are confused with some things that have gone on this 49ers season. And I think we're about to head into the wait till you hear this portion of the show.
Yeah.
And it comes in three different fronts. Wait till you hear what Nick Bosa said about the Devondre Campbell situation. Wait till you hear what D'Amato Lenore said about the Devondre Campbell situation.
Mm.
And wait till you hear what Tom Pelissero said about Brock Purdy and his contract.
Well, that I've heard, and that I think you kind of buried the lead. But the other two are super intriguing. And I stand behind me asking Doc Pandya about the hurt feelings from Devondre Campbell. I should have had an answer.
I thought it was a solid play. It was a solid play. Yeah.
That's a good question, Dibs. Yeah.
I don't know that he would have said that.
And I know that he's actually not cleared to play, and we talked about this on Friday about what the team should do, and I didn't have suspend him for three games on my bingo card. I didn't know that they could do three games for conduct detrimental, but that's what they've done.
That's what they did, and that will save them all of the money.
And like they also now can recoup. They're going to try to recoup some of the bonus.
Some of the signing bonus, right. Like, I know you had mentioned, maybe you were kidding earlier today, that, like, this was kind of vindictive because it won't allow him to play anywhere else. Maybe. I doubt it. I think this is purely financial. Yes, they're livid, but I don't think, I mean, I think it's just about them saving every dollar they can, because why not? And yes, get out of here. We don't ever want to see you again.
And I do think there's a little piece
maybe
of vindictiveness.
Or maybe it doesn't bother them. I don't even think anybody else would pick him up. Do you?
Probably not. But, you know, as we've mentioned before, with GMs and team constructs, not all 32 teams are cut from the same cloth of running things and doing business the right way. In every major sport, there's probably, I don't know, a fifth of all franchises that are run very poorly. Baseball, basketball, football.
You might be low. You might be low with your call there.
Yeah, a fifth, which of 30 would be, you know, five or six, actually.
Take the over.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you do just cut him right away, an emotional cut, I would imagine some team might just pick him up and throw him on special teams.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think he walked off an NFL field for the last time last Thursday night.
I agree with you.
I really do. So, look, lot to jump through on this. Why don't we let you hear what Bosa and Diamador Lenore said about this. The Pelissero stuff on Brock Purdy is important. We'll get to it. We also need to double fade the Dibber tonight with two Monday Night Football games, one starting at 5, one starting at 5:30. Nick Bosa says he heard Devondre Campbell complaining before the game even started.
I actually did. In the locker room before the game, I heard some complaining. I was going to say something, didn't, because I didn't want to create more of a distraction, but kind of felt it. I kind of saw the foreshadowing, and I definitely didn't think it was going to result in that. Didn't know it happened during the game, but...
Do you regret not saying anything now?
Not really. If he was going to do that, then he's not the type of guy to be here. So.
Okay, what do you make of that? Nick says that he heard the complaining before the game, was going to say something, didn't, and then doesn't regret it because, essentially, if that's how you feel, get the hell out of here.
It's a fine line because if Devondre Campbell at his locker saying, oh, blank this, I'm not even going to play then, I don't even know why I'm putting on my pads, they better not try to get me out there to play football because I'm not playing football. Well, if he hears that, then you got to go to your head coach or you go to your coordinator and say, hey, this is kind of going on. Or if Campbell's just at his locker muttering to himself, sure, this is some blank and bull blank, and I'm not happy at all, I'm Devondre Campbell, I'm a veteran in this league, and I don't feel good about myself right now, well, then it's a little bit more of a gray area, you know what I mean?
I do, but I to me, once you're there, it's too late. It's not like the Niners can put a new active inactive list out. You're right before the game starts. It's too late. Your uniform's on. And the only thing I would say, or Nick could have said, is almost like, and I don't mean threaten him, but is like, dude, we may need you tonight.
You got to do it like Bosa if you're going to do it. That's a four.
Yeah, like, I know.
Devon, you know, DC, we might need you.
Yeah.
Dre's so coming. I'm ecstatic about that.
Dre's coming off a serious injury. Yeah. We may need you out there.
We need to make your career great again.
And DFF, it's a three.
Sorry.
DFF is already kind of hampered. We're going to need you to play just in case.
Sorry. Grandy was shaking his head, too. I'm sorry. Anyway, point being is I don't, like, Nick is powerless in that moment. If Devondre is going to be a dummy, Devondre is going to be a dummy. There's nothing anybody could do about it. Here's what Diamador Lenore said about it.
When he first got signed, you know, I was thinking in my head, like, you know, another guy that we can add, you know, to the defense, you know, that can contribute. you know, for that to happen and him to do that, you know, I just lost all respect, you know, because I'm a person that's going 110% every play. So if I'm hurt, you know, and the guy behind me is not backing me up and can't come in or don't want to go in, so I just feel like that he's a cancer to the team.
Called him a cancer to the team, lost all respect. I mean, at a certain point, I don't know how long this commentary goes on from the 49ers. Because now it's water under the bridge. I get it. It's super offensive. It's frustrating. I can't believe that it went down that way. But he's suspended. He's made his last dollar from the Niners. He's probably played his last play in the league. And that's it. And so you wipe your hands together and move on.
And I think that they all will now. I don't know how many more questions there will be when the news comes out today. I saw it from Nick Wagoner on ESPN that the team has suspended him for 3 games, which, unless they make a miraculous playoff run, which they won't, less than 1% chance that they make the playoffs, that's it for his season, and that's it for his time as a Niner. And I'm with you as far as his career in the league. I can't imagine another team looking at Devondre Campbell as a guy you would want, especially when you look at how he played this year, which was mostly not good.
Mediocre at
best. He did have a couple of better games, which is the frustrating part, because he was actually starting to play a little bit better over the last month of the year, and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles was hampered himself, and he had to come in after you lost one linebacker with a bad neck, and then Dre Greenlaw was dinged up, and he had to go out. And so that would have been a nice time for you to come in and actually play football.
Yeah, would have been nice, yes. Yep. And I still think, I mean, the question that everybody wants to ask, I would think, if you were in a room with Devondre Campbell, is, dude, what exactly did you think was going to happen when Dre Greenlaw got healthy? And are you crazy? You thought you were still going to be the lead dog when Greenlaw got back? Like, what's the matter with you? So, anyway, onward. Tom Pelissero, one of the top reporters in the NFL, went on the Rich Eisen show, and what he said about Brock Purdy and a potential contract is really interesting and really worth your time. And we will give it to you in 5 minutes. But first, we need to double fade the dibs.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
All right, it's a double dose and an opportunity for you to not get back to 500, but get over 500. Right. Anyway, a double dose of dibs on a Monday night. And we start with the Vikings at home, where they are a heavy favorite against a Bears team that is coming off of an absolute butt-whipping. The hands of the 49ers. It's a full touchdown, -7, that the hot Vikings need to cover so that they can join the Lions atop the NFC North. Dibs,
Vikings have won 6 in a row, and they would be 12-2 with a victory. And I'm a big believer in the dead cat bounce. When you fire a coach and you get a new coach in, that team usually responds and plays well. What Chicago certainly did not. And I look at this Bears team, and I think, you know, they're better than their record would indicate, but not a lot better. And a Minnesota team playing for a lot, because the number one overall is still out there. Philly is 12-2. With a win, you'd be 12-2, making it interesting over the last three. Minnesota's at home. This feels like a blowout to me. I'm taking Minnesota and laying the 7.
I totally agree with you.
Chanting, clapping, singing.
I totally agree with you.
I was waiting for you to go cuckoo.
And then, if he's right, an opportunity to get over 500 with the Atlanta Falcons. Viva Las Vegas, indeed. That's where they visit tonight against the Raiders, where they are laying on the road, having lost 4 in a row. They are laying 5.5. Desmond Ridder will start. Don't call him Raymond. Dibs. What do you say?
This is a pretty easy one for me, because the Raiders are in a very unique spot where losing is winning. They're chasing the number one overall. They could fall to 2-12 alongside the New York football Giants with the loss. This game opened at 4 and has climbed to 5.5. The money is in on Atlanta. Atlanta's a good team, and they're still chasing something. They've got an outside shot at still being a playoff team. They're going to need to win out. They're motivated. And let's be fair about the Raiders. They absolutely stink. It's an all chalk Monday. You take Atlanta, you lay the 5.5. Is this the one you already bet on?
No, I already bet on Minnesota. But I was waiting to see what you do on this one.
Yeah.
And just even the thought process that you're using, you said a sentence in there that I roundly reject.
It's losing season.
Atlanta is a good team. Oh, no, they're not.
Oh, sure they are.
They're terrible. They've lost 4 in a row. They got blown out in Minnesota last week. They got absolutely embarrassed 2 weeks ago in Denver. They lost in New Orleans 4 weeks ago. They are in a bad way. Kirk Cousins has got a bad case of the interceptionitis.
Mm.
They're terrible.
But he's not playing.
So are the Raiders. Kirk Cousins is not playing?
Oh, no, Ritter's playing for the Raiders. Sorry about that.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The Raiders are terrible, and the Raiders are motivated to lose.
Right. I hate this game. I would stay away. But the fact that you picked a 5.5-point road favorite on Monday night just makes me feel like I'm going to be a Raider fan for one night.
Make sure that you use air quotes when you talk about a road situation, because the Raiders aren't really the home team.
Yeah, but
their
Atlanta.
Players actually live there, and it's an indoor game, and that's right. Where Atlanta thrives. And I think when you look at a Raider team, they're much more motivated to lose. They've largely given up on their coach. Their roster is bereft of real talent. And I know Atlanta's struggled, but I still think that Atlanta's got a lot more talent and a lot more bright spots. 31-17, Atlanta.
You might be right, but the segment is called Fade the Dibbers, and I will not have you be over 500. And Lucas, thanks a lot for nothing. Your role is to jump in and help me clap when I like
a fade. I was clapping.
Way late.
I was fired up.
Late to the party. Hmm. All right.
Odds are I split the games anyway. I'm 21-22 on the year, but don't let me get hot now.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to back you if you're arguing on behalf of Desmond Ridder, though. That's tough.
No, it's not on behalf of Desmond Ridder, but I do like his last name. That's it.
All right.
That's all I got. That's it.
Yeah. Any relation?
Hope not. Anyway, Tom Pelissero, one of the top NFL reporters out there, on the Rich Eisen Show. I want you all to buckle up now. Take a listen to this with regard to Brock Purdy and his value.
Yeah, with Brock Purdy, I think you have to look at it in the aggregate here. In his short career, because he took over, you know, as a seventh-round pick and took over late in the 2022 season, he's already got 13 games with 120 passer rating, which is the most of any player ever over their first three seasons here. The efficiency numbers are really strong on him, and he's been a part of four playoff wins. I mean, the last two guys to reset the market were Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson, who have four playoff wins combined, and wins are not a quarterback stat, but the point is, they found a way to win a ton of games with Brock Purdy.
Okay, hold that statement, and then now's when we want you to put your seatbelt on. And listen to this.
If a deal is going to get done, I would anticipate it is at the top of the quarterback market for all the reasons that I just said. Right now, that's Dak's number. That is $60 million per year. Hmm. Are the 49ers willing to go to that? Or are they going to be in a situation where you could have a standoff with your starting quarterback into the offseason here? I mean, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered here. There's no reason really for Brock Purdy to take a submarket deal at this stage. You know, the worst case would be, you know, he could always play it out. Lamar Jackson did that once upon a time. You gain even more leverage by doing that. Brock also hasn't made as much money as Lamar by virtue of being a seventh round draft pick. But I don't think this is a, hey, we're going to make you the 10th highest paid quarterback, and Brock Purdy just saying, hey, where do I sign? Based upon his production, based on the playoff success, I'm sure he feels like he deserves to be paid at the top of the market.
Okay, and he ain't saying that willy-nilly. I promise you. That's based on conversations.
Right, so they're priming the pump. He and his agent are priming the pump in December off a down year where they don't make the playoffs through Tom Pelissero.
Yep.
It's standard stuff.
So begs a very, very simple question for everybody. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on this right now. If Brock Purdy and his agent come to the 49ers and they say, you want to keep me, you need to sign a top-of-the-market-ish extension. That's what I will accept. Okay, what do you do?
Well, then we start to do the dance that we always do. We don't just automatically capitulate. That would be a capitulation sensation.
Understood.
The Niners don't do that.
Cha-ching!
So they're not going to immediately kowtow to Brock and say, 5-300, does that work for you, Brock?
Okay, here's my issue. What if Brock were to say that to the Niners?
Through his agent.
Brock's going to, right. If his agent comes in and goes, Niners, explain this to me. Dak Prescott makes 60. Trevor Lawrence, for God's sakes, makes 55. If that's the going rate, you talk. Why am I doing the talking? Tell me why Brock is not worth that. What do you say, Prague?
Well, I mean, yeah, we want to keep you, and you're probably worth that, but right now we are not completely, you know, under the gun to sign you. I mean, why don't we see one more year and see if you can get back to the top five MVP caliber player? Because what we saw this year was, you know, closer to middle of the market than it was to the top of the market.
No thanks. I'm not showing up without a deal.
All right. Sounds good. Then you can show up when you want to show up, and we'll go out in the free agent market, and we'll get what we can get. We'll bring in Daniel Jones or a placeholder, and you can make your 1.1, and then you know, you can go ahead and, you know, hang out with Jenna, and you can see if your endorsements continue to be there. Those will probably dry up, and maybe you move back in with your parents in Arizona just to try to cut corners and make sure that you can make ends meet.
The hardball is adorable coming from a couple people who talk on the radio.
They've done hardball before.
Not with their quarterback, they haven't. This is a completely...
Well, and last time they did that, it was a mistake.
Yeah, completely different ball of wax. And I don't know that I would argue it was a mistake. I know people look back and go, Jimmy was overpaid. He brought you to a Super Bowl. I'm not going to act like the Jimmy Garoppolo era was bad simply because it ended in a funky way and he has not been a good player since. Well, there was a lot of success under Jimmy Garoppolo, and there has been a lot of success under Brock Purdy. And this would be my only argument. If you want to ask me, would I pay him 60? I'm with all of you. I'd say no. But the problem is, that's what it costs. That's what it costs. So the question isn't, you got to adjust the question. It's not, would you give him 60? It's, do you want Brock Purdy to be your quarterback? Because if you do, you may well need to at least go to 55. And if you don't do that, that's fine. We could all sit here and listen to each other, but you better have, what's your plan B, boss?
Well, it just depends on how you structure it, too. You can pay him 55, and you can make the contract front-loaded, which is what they love to do. You can give him a big signing bonus, and so after a year or two, you can find a way to wriggle out of that contract if you see fit.
No,
and that's why
that's
I've been looking
point.
At the Daniel
yes.
Jones contract as a great comp in terms of structure. Danny Dimes got 4 years and $160 million with the Giants, but it was front-loaded to where they could get out of it after 2 years, and they did, or they got out of it after 3 years. Whenever they were able to wriggle out of it, that is a way you can create this, and you can make it serve both ends of it. You can give him $60 million. You can give him 4 years and $240 million, and you can make the guaranteed number only $100, and you can give him a $60 million signing bonus up front. Because one thing we've heard from everyone is that the Niners have a lot of cash on hand, and they like to do deals, restructures, and contracts where they pay a lot of money,
yes,
actual dollars, up front, and then it's a lot of funny money on the back end of
completely.
It.
Completely. Like, I actually want to read to you. This was sent last night. I want to read to everybody a tweet or series of tweets from David Lombardi, because he's not wrong. And we will talk about this in ways that work for our radio show and just sort of like the way fans want to talk about it, because to get into the weeds of the cap and, you know, what's guaranteed and the actual guarantee and the real guarantee, blah, 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 the signing bonus, it gets very, very difficult to understand. But David is not wrong when he writes, there's so much clueless talk of APY, that's average per year,
yep.
R.E. Brock Purdy. People tossing around 55 to 60 million without context. Here are the fully guaranteed dollar rankings. Familiarize yourself. Deshaun Watson, number one, 230 million. Number two is Joe Burrow at 146.5. Number three, Trevor Lawrence, 142. That's problematic. Brock's better than Trevor Lawrence. Lamar Jackson then at 135. Justin Herbert, 133.7. Etc. David adds, and then there will be contract structure, which is the end-all be-all for how 49ers can absorb this Purdy contract. Structure depends on fully guaranteed money, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
I think y'all get the idea. So remove the 55 to 60 if you want. That's fair. The question for me is, however you want to look at it, average per year, total guarantee, Pelissero's words were, top of the market. So why don't we just phrase it that way?
Sure.
Top of the market contract. Brock comes in. His agent demands it. You, the 49ers, say what?
You say yes. You're going to do it because you don't have another choice. Your other choices are go into free agency and spend not quite that much, but a lot for a quarterback that may or may not fit, may or may not be as good, could be potentially better, but odds are not going to be dramatically better to be worth the risk. The other option would be to go in the draft. And I don't think this is a great quarterback draft.
Yes.
And you're not going to draft high enough to get Shedeur Sanders if you're so inclined.
And
so,
you should have PTSD on that idea.
Absolutely.
I would hope.
So the answer is yes, you pay him. One thing I learned from David Lombardi, and maybe we get him on over the next couple of days sure. before we get heavy into Warriors, but when you do a contract with a signing bonus, the signing bonus can be prorated throughout the life of the deal. So if you want to say $60 million, it's a good round number. You're going to give him 5 years and $300 million, average annual of $60 million. That's a made-up number. That's funny money. Fine. But let's say it's the same as Trevor Lawrence, $124 million guaranteed, and $100 of that is in a signing bonus. Well, that would be $20 million per year over the life of the deal. So it's not a $100 million hit right away, but you would give him $100 million signing, and then that would be $20 million cap hit a year. Added into it would be an actual salary. So the first couple of years of the deal would be a big, big number, and then it would get smaller, and it would be a contract that, if he played well, would eventually be torn up anyway.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I hope y'all heard what Dibs just said, because you went from, let's play hardball, to then you're like, well, no, you're going to do a deal. Like, that's where I sit. This isn't about, like, is he worth 60? This is about, are you convinced that Brock Purdy is your quarterback or not? And if the answer's yes, then you got to figure out a way to do business. And that's the Niners' job. And I am completely convinced that Brock Purdy is their quarterback.
Well, they're convinced.
Now and going forward.
They're convinced,
yes.
But remember who is in charge of contracts in Santa Clara. It's a guy named Parag Marate,
sure.
And he is not hardwired to roll over and lose deals.
That's true. That is absolutely true. But the last few weeks have made a lot of people kind of do the, oh, and even I said it the other day, maybe the contract is coming down. Maybe he's losing some juice. And this is obviously the start of the process of his agent saying no. No, he hadn't lost any juice. So a lot of people want to weigh in. We're coming straight to you. Gene, Nick, Rolando, Sam, 888-957-9570. If Brock wants top of the market and you're the Niners, what do you do? We'll take your calls coming up. This is Willard and Dibs.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but
now back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
This is going to hurt. It's going to hurt some people, I'm telling you. But to me, we're just in a moment. It's that U2 song, stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. You're stuck in a moment where you're questioning everything with regard to Brock Purdy. The much larger sample tells you. And to me, this is just the way I look at it. I try to avoid the whole, well, is he the most talented QB in the NFL? No.
No.
Of course not. My question is different. Can you win with him? Can you win with him?
If you have a bunch of amazing players around
See,
him.
See, I don't agree with that.
That's this year you haven't, and this year you couldn't win.
But you're overstating it. What happened this year was cataclysmic. This has been an unbelievable list of challenges that the 49ers have had to face. And what happened for 2 years running before that, it's not to say that he didn't have a bunch of amazing players, but then again, look at some of them now. Debo Samuel was, oh, he's got Debo. Well, not now.
He still has Debo.
Yeah, but
not. You said he hasn't lost a step.
I don't think he's lost a step. He has not been as effective this year. There might be a number of reasons for that. But this is, as we said, if we've stripped down the whole idea of a system quarterback being this negative thing, Kyle runs what Kyle runs. He's got players that do well with it. Brock is one of them. So to me, I don't think Brock has to have this, that, or the other. He still remains the seventh-ranked quarterback in the NFL this year, even with all of this bad play.
Seventh-ranked in
QBR right now.
I got him at nine, but according to Football Reference,
top 10 QBR right now, he is number seven. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, Matt Stafford, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes. That's the report I see. We can look at
ESPN or
I'm a Lombardi's Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the actual football Pro Football Reference. He's ninth. The point is all about the same. Yeah,
Brock Purdy, top 10 quarterback. He's not playing as disastrous as a lot of people want to say. I'm not going to sit here and argue that he's having a good year. It's not a great year. It's been a worse year than the last three, the previous two, I mean. But, again, if you're asking, can you win with him? Is he good? If that's what you want to ask, and I think what you should be asking, then, as Kyle Shanahan even stated last year when talking about receivers, if that's what they cost, then in a way that's what you got to do. I'm not saying you got to just do whatever Brock tells you to do, but let's be real. You do not have some other better option sitting out there for you. I don't believe.
Well, you could pursue it, but it's not a slam dunk, easy, cookie cutter, other best option. And interesting what you said about PTSD, and I do think that as an organization, you hopefully learned your lesson about going into the draft and trading up. And look at that whole draft class. That whole draft class is mostly a mess. And, every draft class, and you get six quarterbacks in the first round. And I would bet that there are six quarterbacks that go in this year's draft in the first round, and one will be good, three will be probably mediocre, and two will be absolute train wrecks. Just among the first round.
At least.
And that's usually the way that goes. So if you're going to end up picking, and right now I think they're picking 12 or 13. Or
low teens.
Which is not where you want to be, by the way.
Nope.
That is complete draft class purgatory. So you're going to draft a guy 4 years plus a fifth year option and hope he's good? No. Or you go into free agency and you look to pay somebody. And this year's free agency class, by the way, is not very good for quarterbacks. And you're going to overpay for a guy who is not very good, or you overpay for a guy who you know you can win with. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Here's what we're reacting to. We want to go to the phones. A lot of you want to weigh in. Tom Pelissero on the Rich Eisen Show over the weekend.
If a deal is going to get done, I would anticipate it is at the top of the quarterback market for all the reasons that I just said. Right now, that stacks number. That is $60 million per year. Mm. Are the 49ers willing to go to that? Or are they going to be in a situation where you could have a standoff with your starting quarterback into the offseason here? I mean, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered here. There's no reason really for Brock Purdy to take a submarket deal at this stage. The worst case would be, he could always play it out. Lamar Jackson did that once upon a time. You gain even more leverage by doing that. Brock also hasn't made as much money as Lamar by virtue of being a seventh round draft pick. But I don't think this is a, hey, we're going to make you the 10th highest paid quarterback, and Brock Purdy just saying, hey, where do I sign? Based upon his production, based on the playoff success, I'm sure he feels like he deserves to be paid at the top of the market.
I guess here's another, this is what Tom is saying to me. Yes, the 49ers could sit there and go, gosh, the Rams game. And then without, when people get hurt around you, they could do all that. Brock's argument is better. I think Brock's argument is better. Brock can sit here and look at all of these quarterbacks who've been paid that I've already outplayed in 2.5 years of my career. And what's the Niners' response to that? I don't know what a good one is. Let's start with Nick and Martinez. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling Willie and Dibby.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing today?
What's up? Good, man.
All right. So I'm sick of the drama. I'm so sick of the drama. I mean, we started dealing with the Ayuk drama right when our season ended, right when he got into the locker room. It was contract talk. And this entire season has just been a dramatization sensation.
Nice, Nick.
And well done. Quite frankly, over it.
You know what's crazy, though, Nick?
Buckle up, Nick. It's just beginning.
It's not even started yet. Exactly.
Correct. It's only started. But my point is this. It actually has already started. That clock with Ayuk and with Purdy started a long time ago. Purdy even more so, because you didn't think that he was going to be what he is. And then your number one draft pick fell through. And then Jimmy fell through. And this whole time you've been sitting on him. And you mean to tell me that as of right now, even him taking you to a championship, going through surgery, coming back, getting you to a Super Bowl, you still haven't made up your mind? That's crazy to me. That's absolutely bananas.
I think they have made up their mind.
Exactly.
I think it's fans who are just stuck. And
thanks, Nick.
They're stuck based on the number. And I said this in our group chat earlier. To me, the idea is should they or shouldn't they? But the organization has already decided, yes, we should, well, and yes, we will.
I
don't think that there's much debate inside 49 Centennial about, is he the guy?
No, but the debate could be about the structure of it. Because right, as you right. said, Parag likes to debate. I don't know what has been said to Brock's agent. There's a reason Tom Pelissero is on Rich Eisen's show talking about it. So this is the beginning of the negotiation. It started literally 2 seconds after the Niners were essentially eliminated from the playoffs. I know they haven't been mathematically eliminated, but they're not going this year. And the second they got eliminated, we didn't even make it to Monday morning of the after the Thursday game without Brock Purdy contract talk. Here we are. And you're right. I don't think it's necessarily about do they want him or do they not want him. It's about the structure of the deal. And my whole argument would be this. Nick's right. This sucked last offseason. Don't do this again. It'd be even worse. It's your quarterback, number one. And number two, I just think there are too many of you who have jumped ship because the last month hasn't been good when there's already two plus seasons of data that suggest Brock Purdy's a really good quarterback. Is he one of the top five in the league? Maybe not. But That's not even what we're talking about. You don't only pay the top five quarterbacks
right,
in the league.
Right.
You pay the good ones. He's one of the good ones.
That's right. And I look at Jalen Hurts, who signed for 5 years and $251 million per, and he got a guarantee of 110 at signing, and he got a big signing bonus as a part of it, and that was a couple of seasons ago.
Two seasons ago now.
Right. And so, is he as good as Jalen Hurts? He's different than Jalen Hurts, but let's just put him in about the same neighborhood. 2 years ago, he got 51, and he got 110 guaranteed. So that, to me, is closer to the floor than it is the ceiling for what Brock's going to get.
I don't know why people think Brock would accept less than this. Is it because he's short and looks like an all-shucks kid?
Completely.
Like,
he's a sweetheart, and he's never made anything, so why wouldn't he just take 40? That's life-changing. He's only made $1 million, so why wouldn't he just settle for 40?
Yeah.
And also, that would be the right thing, Mark, because then they could spend money to help the team around him.
It'd be nice.
That's what people think.
Yeah, but he's got an agent, and his agent's like, why would you do that? Why? I've heard people say in the last 24 hours, well, the Niners have all the leverage. No, they don't. They don't have a quarterback without him. Who's their quarterback?
Like a Dobbsy. Like a Brandon Allen.
What are they going to do if they don't have Brock? Like, honestly. What, Granny? What do you got?
Oh, I was going to tell you, you got to hit a legal ID coming up in a second.
Who do you think I am, Steiny?
Time for the legal.
Time for the guest line.
Man. All right.
River Islands.
You're listening to River Islands Radio. No, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.